Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now where the message is already in progress.
It says that we ought to lay aside. Why y'all judging me? Y'all, I can feel y'all judging me and looking at me like, why, Pastor? They shaking their head. Y'all to see how they doing me? In-house, Lord have mercy. Y'all know y'all seen that video. What am I trying to tell you? That there are some things that we ought to take off. We ought to take off some weight. Somebody say, take off the weight. We ought to take off the weight. Take off the boat. Take off all that extra material that is holding us. Those things that is immaterial. Those things that interfere. Those things. Look at this. That delays action or progress. What is it in your life that's delaying action or progress? The Hebrew writer said, take it off. Those things that causes us weight. This is not sin, but it's something that is slowing us down. It's called weapons. I love it. It's called weapons of mass distractions. The enemy has them in all of our lives. Weapons of mass distraction. Where there's something that God wants us to do. There's somewhere that God wants us to be. In fact, God wants to bring us into alignment, but we're so distracted. We cannot come into alignment. I love this article that I read earlier this week. It talked about the 9 ever-present distractions that keep us from fully living. 9 ever-present distractions that keep us from fully living. Look what it says. The first ever-present distraction is this: the promise of tomorrow. The promise of tomorrow. Simply the article was talking about how people always saying that when tomorrow comes, when I'll do it then, I'll do it with this time, I'm gonna. Come on, that's all the I'm gonna's. All the I'm gonna. This is really why a great reason why we're shifting our time. We're saying all in at 10. Cause when we first put out all of the publication that we're doing this and we're doing that 9, 11, 15 and this and that, everybody was saying, I'm a. You know who been coming? Let me know, I'll be there. And all these people respond and say, and man, we here doing all these services here, praise team, I'm preaching, everybody serving, media team and all that. And come on here and I'm gonna is gonna still come. And here I'm going, when I'm talking to you, when 2021, the beginning of the year, I'm going to do right. Whenever it is, as soon as I get married, I'm going to start doing right. As soon as I get divorced, I'm going to start doing right. I'm going to do better when I start having kids. I just got these kids. I can't do nothing right now. Come on. We always the promise of tomorrow. The article says that we wait so many days waiting for the weekend. How many people live for the weekend? I'm just holding out. Come on. You show up to work on Monday talking about the Friday. Come on. You show up and just coast for the whole week. Where the weekend watch is at? The way you can't even get involved in what it is you're supposed to be doing because you're waiting and you're waiting on this futuristic event to take place. And so you can't do, hear me good, you can't do what God has called you to do now because you're waiting on then. You're waiting on tomorrow. You're waiting on another opportunity. You're waiting on something else to happen. And God is saying, you don't wait for nothing else to happen. You do what I told you to do when I told you to do it. Stop being distracted waiting on the promise of tomorrow. What else? What else is mass distraction? It is the pursuit of perfection. Yes, sir. Now some of us, because we know we haven't mastered it, because we don't know how to do it. We don't know how it's fully going to do this, and we don't know how to fully do that. I don't know how to quit, how to start it. I don't want to start, then got to stop. I don't got all it figured out. I don't want to jump out there and people be talking about, because you think it needs to be perfect. It don't need to be perfect. You get out and you do what God told you to do. You step out in faith, and that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is, I got the evidence that God told me to do it, and even when it's not perfect, I don't got all my I's dotted, I don't got all my T's crossed, but I'm still gonna obey God. You waiting on perfection. And come on, there about 10 of y'all that got their businesses locked up in your soul, and you have not started that business, you have not written that book, you have not done that song, you have not done that thing that God has told you to do, because you're waiting on it to be perfect. If you wait for perfect conditions, the ecclesiastical writer said, the farmer will never sow if you're waiting on perfect condition. But no, you get out there and you sow, you get out there and you step out in faith and you do what God has told you to do. You move forward. Weapons of mass distraction. Let me hurry. The regret of yesterday. the regret of yesterday because of how things went, whether it was love that was lost, whether it was something that escaped, there was something that escaped out of your hands. So you missed an opportunity. You missed a moment. The regret of yesterday. And many of us are paralyzed by our past. Number four, the accumulation of possessions. These are some things that distract us because we're so trying to secure the bag. We're so trying to get this house. We're so trying to get this vehicle. We're so trying. And you ought to have goals. You ought to have things that you push towards. But I've learned in my 20 years with walking with the Lord for real. I've been telling y'all for 5 years. Can't wait to get to year 20. I've learned in my 20 years of walking with the Lord. I've learned that most of the times the things that I just got to have, when I divorce them and get them out of my spirit, that God will allow them to happen. They will come to me. Yes, sir. And here's so many of us, we get off course and we don't do what God has called us to do because we try to get some stuff, and we hide under the umbrella of us taking care of our family. We hide under the umbrella of us trying to embetter ourselves, embetter yourself, take care of your family, but stay in alignment with God. Oh yeah, yeah, I know. The desire of wealth, that is a distraction. The desire of wealth. Let me move faster. The need for notoriety. We just want somebody to know us. We're obsessed with likes and loves and shares. And double tapping. We obsessed with somebody following us. And here, this is the no. Oh, let me go. Look at this. Oh, this is so damaging. The pull of comparison. We're so busy looking at somebody else stuff. We're so busy looking at somebody else's relationship. Relationship goals. You don't know. He just busted upside the head before they took the picture. Relationship goals. You don't know. They've been arguing all night. Relationship goals. You cannot allow what you see on social media. I know y'all don't like this, but I'm coming right back. The Lord, if you get in alignment, I don't got to preach like this. Come on. You won't get in alignment. So that's why I got to keep going this way. What am I saying? We can't look at what somebody else have or look at where it seems that someone else is and compare. I love Helen Hunt's quote. She says that comparison is the thief of joy. You can't enjoy where you are because you're comparing where your sister is. You can't enjoy where you are because you're looking at where your brother is, because you're competing with your with this person, that person. No, my friend, that's a distraction. The appeal of pleasure. Because I want to enjoy myself. This is probably one of the biggest Achilles heel of the body of Christ in 2021. The devil called entertainment. Because I just want to be entertained. I just want to watch. And we gotten so overwhelmed. We got all these movies on Netflix. I got to watch them all. I got all this access to YouTube. You can sit down, you and Facebook and all this stuff. And we just want to be entertained. I work hard. Why can't I be entertained? All right. No, I said nothing. I heard a cotton ball drop. It was so funny. Look, the presence of indifference. Ooh, I'm just indifferent. This is a bad place to be in. You don't want more, and you don't care if it gets any worse. You're just not going to do anything. You're just satisfied with where you are. Oh, this is some weapons of mass destruction. And here, this is what the Hebrew writer is saying. The Hebrew writer is saying that I need to lay aside the weight. The weight is not sin. And see, this is how it gets us in the body, because it's not. Where is that in the Bible that they I can't? Throw me, Pastor, if you got to ask somebody if it's in the Bible. 9 times out of 10, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Come on. Come on. It's from the earth. It's for medicinal purposes. I got glaucoma. You better get some eye drops. Come on here. You better. What about these brownies? I just want to eat these brownies. Come on. I got you, bro. I got you, sis. But here, what am I saying? We want the black and white answer. We want to find out where the line is. Where the line? So can a Christian smoke? So can a Christian drink? Jesus turned water into remedy, didn't he? Let me get out of here, cause we waste so much time trying to figure out how we can not do what God has called us to do instead of just what? Doing it. Instead of just doing it. And these are weights. And Paul said, just because it's lawful does not mean it's expedient. I'm saying this ain't got to move. Just because it's lawful, just because I can do it, just because it doesn't say thou shalt not, is it expedient? Does it edify the body? Am I being that example? There are some things that I can do as a leader, as a pastor. Just these 21 days. Lord have mercy. Just these 21 days of fasting, consecration. I was on my one little meal. Come on here. I was trying to get me a one little meal. And I went somewhere trying to get me a one meal. And I'm heading to the place. And I saw Brenda Jones driving by. So a Sister Brenda Jones. I said, Lord, it's going to look like I'm not fasting. Let me get back to my car. She didn't even see me. Come on here. I said, it just didn't look expedient. Come on. I was like, man, I got to wait 8 o'clock. Now, Lord, and I, the pastor out here every morning, turn down your plate. I'm pushing away and I'm the first one going to the spot. Come on here. I was hungry. Then I ran into one of y'all. Beep, beep. She didn't even see me. Sister Brenda Jones. want to get my grub. It was lawful, but it wasn't expedient. If she would see me busting out there with a big old bag, come on here, out of here, man. Anyway, so look, I love what Tommy Barnett says. He says the time is the most significant non-renewable resource at our disposal. So many of us waste time, is what Pastor Kobe trying to say, because we're weighted down with distraction. Let me hurry because I'm losing y'all. We had the motivation to move to alignment. That's the great cloud of witnesses. The mannerism, that's to strip it off. Oh, the third thing, look at this. I see the mandate of alignment. That's some things that God has told me and told you and told us that he is mandating us to do in order to get in alignment. Look what he says, Hebrews 12. Well, I'm still in verse 1. He says, and sin, which clings so closely. He says, I need you to throw off. It's getting hot in here. I need you to throw off that weight. But then he also says that there's some sin that clings so closely to you. He said, you got to get that sin, that there's some things that clings onto us. There's some things that we have natural inclinations for. There's a little proclivity. There's some things that bother you, that entice you, that don't bother me. There's some things that bother me, that don't bother you. But there's some things, and the Hebrew writer says those sin, the sin. All of us have something, Lord. All of us have something that you catch us at the wrong time. And the wrong day and the wrong minute, all of us have something that would pull us and allure us off of the plan of God. But I have to learn how to, it's a mandate for me to get rid of that. I cannot hold on to that because it's cute and it's cozy. I can't hold on to that just because, oh, at least I'm not like this person, like that person. But I got to let go of that sin that clings so closely to me. Look what it says in the New American Standard Version, same verse. It says, and the sin which so easily entangles us. Yes. There are some of us that say we struggling and we've been struggling with the same sin for 10 years. There are some of us that say we're struggling. I'm going through. We've been struggling with the same thing for 15 years, for 20 years, for 30 years. There are some of us that we have these besetting sins. But in order for us to run, in order for us to be who it is that God is telling us to do, it's a mandate to let it go. Somebody say, let it go. It's a mandate for us to let it go. I don't know what your sin is. I don't know what that thing is. I don't know what that thing that pulls you all the time. I don't know what that thing is that whispers in your ear. But in order for us to be in proper alignment, that's a mandate. I can't have this and be who God wants me to be. I cannot dibble dabble in this and be who God has called me to be. I got to make up in my mind because God has mandated me to let it go. I got to say, God, you got to give me the strength that I need. I got to put it down. I got to walk away from it. I cannot keep excusing myself to keep on hanging in and holding on to this sin that entangles me. This is a gospel truth. I need my second amen. Preach, Pastor Colby. Because all of us got to make up in our mind that we got to do what God has called us to do. When the last time you heard this verse of scripture, Isaiah 55:7, look what he said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Oh, that he may have a compassion on him to our God, for he is abundantly pardoned. What am I trying to tell you, my friend? That besetting sin, that thing that keep on tripping you up, that thing that keep on having you in an entanglement, God said if you will forsake your way, God said if you'll forget about yourself and you come to him, he will forgive you. And some of us stay in our sin. Some of us stay in our mess. Some of us stay in our adultery. Some of us stay in our drug activity. Some of us stay in our land and our plan and all of that stuff because we feel like we've gone too far, that God don't love me. God don't want me. But no, God said, I will abundantly pardon you. I'll forgive you. I'll cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. You can't mess up so bad that God won't wash you, that God won't cleanse you, that God won't purge you. But you got to come to him. Oh, Ephesians 4:22 said to put off your old self. Somebody say, put it off. You got to put off your old self. He said, which belongs to your former manner of life, and this is corrupt through deceit, desires. Colossians 3:5 says, so put to death. Come on, say, put to death. You got to put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Lord have mercy. There's something lurking within you. There's something lurking within me. I told you in World War Me, if you leave me up to myself, if you leave me up to the things that I desire to do, I'm going to be in trouble. There's something lurking in me. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. It's still in your Bible. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater. Come on, worshiping the things of this world. Verse 8 says, but now is the time time to get rid of anger. Somebody say, get rid of it. Now is the time for alignment. Now is the time for me to be able to do what I need to do. Say, get rid of anger, get rid of rage, get rid of malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. You saved and you're still cussing. Come on here. You saying, head now to the now, now, now. Come on here, my friend. What am I saying? You still cussing and saying, don't let me, excuse my language. If I told y'all 9,000 times, if you got enough time to say, excuse my language, if you got enough time to say, pardon my friends, you got enough time to choose another word. Come on here, my friend. Oh, don't stomp your big toe. Oh, I remember I was working at CVS and I went in the safe and I was going in the safe and I came out of the safe too fast and I slammed my hand in that safe trying to go and I said, ooh, ee, ooh, ooh, bang, bang. That girl said, you say for real, real. She said, if I would have slammed my thumb with, ooh, 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 that's how my finger now. And all I said was, God, help me, help, help, help. Now, I'm not telling you what I was saying up in here, but it didn't come down there. Yeah, y'all ain't gonna help me here. Oh, I got to get rid of it. I got to put it off. Don't y'all look at me in that tone of voice. You ought to see how these masks is judging me. And they just cussed somebody out the other day. Oh, you don't you look at me that way. But I'm trying to tell you, we got to let it go. We got to let it go. Verse 9 say, don't lie to each other. For you have stripped off your old sinful nature and the wicked evil deeds. Oh, I got to put it off. Somebody say, put it off. I got to get out of here. I'm trying to tell you about the pursuit of alignment. If you want to be aligned for real, there's some things that we got to do. The motivation to move into alignment. The mannerisms of alignment. The mandate of alignment. Look at this. Now the movement towards alignment. Lord have mercy. There's some movement towards alignment. Hebrews 12:1 said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I need to run the race that is set before me. God has set a race before me. I don't have to run your race. I don't got to run what God has put in front of you, but God has put a race in front of me and I need to run it with endurance. That's what we need in this season. We need endurance. That's what we need in the middle of this COVID-19. We need endurance. That's what we need in the middle of this pitiful pandemic. We need endurance. This racial tension, political unrest, we need some endurance. Endurance is a steady determination to keep on going. Anybody want to make up their mind? I'm determined to keep on going. I'm determined to keep on pushing. I'm determined to keep on praising. I'm determined to, let me speak for me. I'm determined to keep on preaching. I'm determined to keep on teaching. I'm determined to keep on loving. I'm determined. Doesn't matter what's going on around me. I'm going to endure. It means to continue even when everything in you wants to slow down and give up. Oh, come on. Don't tell me you don't have those days where you want to throw in a towel. Don't tell me you don't have those days where you want to walk away from everybody and everything. But endurance keeps on pushing me. And the apostle said, I got to keep on running. I got to keep on running. I got to run the race that is set before me. I love the apostle. Many don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm not sure. Some say Paul, some say Apollo, but I know the Holy Spirit was divinely inspiring it. But the Apostle Paul, he gives an illustration of us working out. The Apostle Paul gives us the illustration of us running in 1 Corinthians 9. The Apostle gives us an illustration on how we ought to do what we need to do. But the Hebrew writer said we got to run the race. Somebody say race. The word for race is a conflict, Lord have mercy, a contest or struggle. The word that Paul or whomever uses in this book of Hebrews for race is the word we get our English word agony, Lord have mercy. He said every now and then there's going to be some agony that's set before you. Every now and then there's going to be some pain that's set before you. I don't know who told you that you're never going to suffer. I don't know who told you never going to be able to go through something. I don't know who told you that every day was going to be like Sunday. I don't know who told you that you're never going to experience anything, but there's going to be some agony. There's going to be some people that walk away from your life. There's going to be some people that come in and tell you what you want to hear, and then after they get what they want, they're going to be gone. Oh, it's going to be some agony, my friend. But the apostle said, the Hebrew writer said, I got to learn how to keep on pushing. I got to keep on going. I got to learn because God is calling me to run the race. Come on, somebody type that, say run the race. Come on, somebody say that, run the race. I got to run the race that is set before me because God said I can win. I love what the old school Charles Haddon Spurgeon and said when it comes to winning and comes to running. He said, we cannot win. Wait it, Lord have mercy. We cannot win. You want to win? You're more than a conqueror, but you cannot win being weighted down. You cannot win being bogged down. That's something I got to lay aside the weight. I got to cast off the sin in order for me to win. Somebody put your hands together. Give God some praise right there. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm getting ready to roll. I'm getting ready to roll up out of here. I'm looking for somebody that can make up in their mind that I'm going to win. Look what the apostle said in 1 Corinthians 9:24. He said, don't you realize that you're in a race. He said, you're in a race that everybody runs. He said, but the only person, only one person gets the prize. Look what the apostle said. He said, so run. He said, run to win. I don't know what you're running for. I don't know what you're experiencing agony for. But I'm running because I'm going to run to win. I'm going through, but I'm going through because I'm going to win. I haven't been going through what I've been going through just to go through it. But no, I'm going to get to the place the way I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to get to the place. I'm going to get everything that God has for me. If I got to walk away from you, I'll leave you alone because I need everything that God said belongs to me. If I got to say goodbye to some folk, I'll say goodbye because I need everything that God has for me. If I got to wake up early, if I got to burn the midnight oil, if I got to burn the candle on both ends, I got to do what I need to do. I'll work and go to school. I go to school and start a business. I take care of my kids. I love on my spouse. And I'll do what I need to do because God said I got something for you. I got to learn how to run to win. So goodbye, truth and love. I'm trying to tell you about alignment. I'm in hot pursuit of alignment. I'm in hot pursuit of what God has for me. And the apostle said, you got to run. You got to run to win. I was talking to Miss Karina on yesterday, and I asked her about track and field. That's what I was looking for something. And the conversation came about track and field. He said, yeah, I used to run. Yeah, I used to like to run the 440, the 220, and all these other stuff. I know what she was talking about. He said, when you talk about the relay race, in order for you to run to win, if the important thing about receiving the baton, it's about being in the right position. It's about being in the right position in order for you to run. God ain't gonna help me preaching here. You got to be in the right position to be able to receive the baton, to be able to receive the alignment. I went to Dick's Sporting Goods. And I asked them, do y'all got batons? They said, ooh. I went to another place. I said, y'all got relay batons? They said, ooh. So I went to Lowe's. I went to Home Depot. I said, give me some lead. Give me an iron pipe. And it's going to work for my baton today. Because I need to get in position. Because the Lord want me to be in alignment. On your mark. Y'all don't want me to preach today. I say on your mark. I didn't say on their mark. I said on your mark. I got to learn how to be on my mark. I got to be on my game. If nobody else is praying, if nobody else is fasting, if no one else is loving, if no one else is serving, I'm going to be on my mark. I'm going to be on my set. And I'm getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to run. I heard my grandma say, run, don't look back. Y'all ain't gonna help me preaching here because it's time for me to run. Goodbye, truth and love. I'm trying to tell you about the pursuit of alignment. And I can look. Thank God for Moses. Thank God for Abraham. Thank God for the Hall of Fame of Faith. But I see the master of alignment. What did Paul say? What did the Hebrew writer say? He said, looking under Jesus, he's the master of alignment. Give me verse number 2. He says in verse number 2, he said, looking unto Jesus. I love you, Pastor Kobe, but I'm looking unto Jesus. I love my friends, but I'm looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the perfecter. He's the one that founded my faith. And he's the ending. What am I trying to tell you? Jesus started you and he initiated you. Jesus started you in the journey. He put you in the race. He is the originator and he's the finisher. Not only will he start you, but he'll end it. I heard Paul say, he said, being confident of this very thing, the one that has begun this good work in us, he's able to perform it. I heard Paul
Paul say? He said, now I'm faithful. The one that I committed it to. He's faithful to keep me. He's going to be at the beginning. He's going to be at the end. And I got to leave y'all alone, y'all. I'm trying to tell you, I got to keep my mind on the master of alignment. I heard a story about an individual that was plowing in the field. And they were plowing for a prize. They were plowing for a reward. They were plowing to receive something back. And most of them, when they made very crooked, lines. And look what they said. The judge began to ask. They began to ask those brothers that were plowing. He asked the first young man. He said, young man, what would you keep your eyes on while you were plowing? The first young man said, I was looking. I had my hand on my plow. And I kept looking at my plow. And the judge said, sorry, son, your line is still crooked. He asked the second person. He said, son, what were you looking at while you were plowing? He said, I was looking at the groove. I was looking at the ditch. I was looking at what was in front of me. He said, sorry, son, your line's still crooked. He went to the last brother whose line was straight. He said, son, he said, what did you have your eyes on? He said, right in front of me, there was a tree that was right in front of me. And I kept my eyes on the tree. Y'all ain't gonna help me preaching here. On the hill, far away, there's a tree on the hill of Golgotha. You wanna keep on pushing? You gotta look at the master of alignment. Because on that tree, he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. I got my mind on the tree. When I want to walk away, I got my mind on the tree. I heard the Hebrew writer say, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do, to endure your cross. Keep on looking for the joy. Keep on going to the reward. Because the Lord said, if you keep on pushing, if you keep on running, if you don't drop the baton, you'll get everything that God has for you. Come on, put your hands together and give my great God some praise. I said, give him some praise. The master of alignment. He wanted to throw in the towel. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, Father, if it be possible, take this bitter cup away from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's why I get in alignment. I'm looking at the master of alignment. It's the least that I can do to keep my focus on him. So I'm going to get on my mark. I'm going to keep my focus on him. TIL Nation, I'm telling you that this baton has been handed down to us throughout all the quarters of time. The first century church, they had a pandemic too called Nero. It had a pandemic. They were trying to snuff them out, trying to stop them, trying to extinguish their fire, their tenacity. But yet, it's the same people this Hebrew writer is writing to. They're running for their lives. And yet, the baton kept on passing. Throughout every age of church history, there's always been opposition. There's always been trouble. And every generation kept passing the baton. Kept passing the baton. I want to ask you a question. On your watch, would that happen on your watch? On your watch, will you drop your baton? On your watch, will you fumble the baton because of circumstances? But no, my friend, I'm going to be in position, and I'm so much in position. When I get it, I'm already running. I'm already heading to where the Lord has called me to be. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word, very practical word, something very plain, something that we know and we've rehearsed. We got sometimes we got to hear the same old truth again and again and again. And we're so thankful that you love us that much, that you'll tell us what you already told us, to push us where you already told us to be.
Thank you for listening to Truth and Love Ministries, located at 1989 Dunn Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida 32218. under the loving leadership of Pastors Colby and Camilla Nesbitt. Join us for our Sunday morning worship experience at 9 and 11:15 a.m. We would also love to see you at our Triple Play Thursday, which is our midweek worship experience, kicking off at 12 noon, corporate prayer at 6 p.m., and concluding with a powerful teaching and walk through the Word at 7 p.m. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Truth and Love Jax. For more information, call us at 904-683-9843. Again, 904-683-9843.